We had a professor at the seminary who was a good guy. I really liked Father Federico Collaudi. He was the vice rector for Redemptoris Mater Seminary, the new catechumenal seminary, one of the two we have in Denver. But he was a little challenging when he actually took his Hebrew class. His kind of more friendly ways that he had normally kind of turned into this hardened intensity once we were taking his beloved course of Hebrew. And he was known to like really kind of lose it if you make a mistake. And so it was kind of low-grade terror was how I described the semester. And I remember, you know, he was kind of famous for, you know, telling a student who blew something, "I've told you this 1,000 times. You know, and one time this poor guy made a mistake and Father Collaudi whirls around. He's like, "How many times have I told you this?" And the poor guy's like, 1,000 times? And he's, yeah. And he didn't laugh or say, he just said, "Exactly." You know, and then back to the board to write his Hebrew. So Father Collaudi was kind of known for like kind of whirling around and correcting. And I think of that because it reminds me of a time where he came over to our Companions of Christ house, my priest association. It was early on in the time of our association, and he was coming to visit us. We had invited him for dinner to kind of explain what we're doing, and it was a powerful time for us, a time of many blessings by God, that in the mess of trying to start a new association, even as seminarians, you know, those blessings were there, and we had a great yearning as well, kind of a big mess and a lot of yearning all at the same time for what this could be. And I remember after dinner walking him back out to the sidewalk, his car was parked outside, and telling Father Collaudi, "Well, Father, you know, God is blessing us so much. You know, we just need to be faithful to his blessings." And he whirled around at me and he said, "You won't be faithful, but God will be. You know, it's not just about you. It's about God's fidelity and what he brings about through his blessing." And for us as the companions, and for us more broadly, to rely upon that fidelity of God. Our first reading kind of takes us to that point as well. It's a very beautiful reading and the urgency, the appeal that Isaiah is making, and kind of Israel through Isaiah is making to God, this sincere just acknowledgement of how both they, the people, are a mess, as well as that they yearn for so much more. A mess, they describe, you know, "Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways, and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Behold, you are angry and we are sinful." But then they yearn, Isaiah yearns for so much. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Kind of a new Sinai. "Would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you in our ways." But what Isaiah comes to is that in the end, it's simply God's fidelity that'll have to get them through, and to trust in his work, to surrender to his work, what he is doing with Isaiah, with Israel. And so it ends, "O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you the potter. We are all the work of your hands." I'm excited and happy for the season of Advent and then onward from that to Christmas, looking forward to really both of these great seasons. And why is that? I tried to kind of tap into where was that excitement coming from. And I think for me, it's just to grasp again, to meditate again, that both the mess of my life, whatever that is, and the yearning that I have for more, these are answered by God in Jesus Christ. And as Father Collaudi said, and as St. Paul says in our second reading, God is faithful, and to rely upon that. Now, St. Paul says that to the Corinthians, and we need to know a little bit about the Corinthians. They were really a hot mess. You know, their little church community was riven by strife and factions. There was serious sexual sin. There was great confusion, liturgical abuse. There was straying from the gospel. I mean, this is, wow. Like they had a lot of things that weren't going well. Nevertheless, St. Paul had great confidence in what God was nevertheless doing. He says, I give thanks to my God always on your account for the grace of God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus. And St. Paul remained hopeful on account of God's fidelity. He will keep you firm to the end, irreproachable on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Advent and then Christmas, I think, invite us to the relief, really the relief of depending again on God. Depending upon God in our mess, in our yearning, and to hope and watch and see what the Lord brings about. The season of Advent and Christmas, they make this beautiful time of hopeful expectation, as well as seeing how God has fulfilled that so incredibly. All the different prophecies about the coming of the Messiah and Bethlehem and all these prophecies, how they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And the long-awaited Messiah for centuries. You know, and how he becomes indeed the light to the nations that all indeed are truly seeking to light the darkness that they live in. You know, and so this season of Advent and Christmas is meant to help us grow in that hopeful expectation and really to train our hearts to live out of that reality, to live out of that reality, that it become a regular feature of our life, to live by the fact that God is faithful. Faithful to what? Well, now that's not necessarily all my projects, not necessarily all of my plans, you know, certainly not my schedule and timing, you know, as laudable and critical as my hopes and plans may seem to be. God is faithful to his plan, the ultimate plan, the one that matters most. And it's that plan of sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our darkness for our salvation. And God graciously includes us, draws us into that plan. As St. Paul says, God is faithful, and by him you are called to fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in the end, beyond just simply the passing measure of the day, this fellowship will be more than enough. St. Paul tells the Corinthians, in him you were enriched in every way. And now we unpack those riches. The parable of today that Jesus gives us, it warns us, though, that we're not to be simply merely passive, just kind of passive bystanders, inert, simply letting God do everything. No, the household had both servants who were busy at work in the home, as well as that gatekeeper who was there on watch. And I think it's that total household, both of those roles, that really describe the disciple. The disciple is the whole household, busy with Jesus' work, but also watchful for him. Yes, for that second and ultimate coming, but also that the way he comes into our lives day after day, grace after grace, you know, to be there in our working for him. And so, yes, there's both of these realities, but I think Advent and Christmas really emphasize and really shift us to that really important just hoping, watching, and seeing what the Lord will do. You know, to rest in that reality, because what the Lord does is what is truly decisive. And so, for this Advent, I recommend take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. In your prayer, and whatever devotions you might do for Advent, take a deep breath. And you're thinking and you're worrying about different things. Take a deep breath. Surrender the mess of your lives, as well as your great yearnings. And give those again to God, for we know that God is faithful.